Scripture reading this evening will come from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 through 26. I'll be reading from the New International Version. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and all will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church.
Hide these things from me, just so keep me from it. I know. It's good to be here tonight and to be able to speak to you all. I want to thank you for the prayers on behalf of my mother this week. It's one of those things, I don't care how routine they tell you it is, when it's your mama, you just still worry about it. And I appreciate the prayers that were offered up before her. A couple of weeks ago, the local news report talked about different churches that were streaming their services live over the internet. And everyone interviewed was very clear that they didn't think you should use this as a reason to miss services, but they had it there for your convenience, and a couple of them made it pretty easy to contribute over the internet just in case you were so inclined. And while I might see some value in a live broadcast of services if you're shut in, if you have shut-ins in your congregation, watching a broadcast in place of attendance kind of misses the point of an assembly and why we assemble. I always think it's a little ironic to talk about in a sermon why to assemble, because if you're here, you probably don't really need it, and if you're not here to hear it, what good's it going to do you? So, you know, there's a little irony involved, but in spite of that, I really want to explore to you tonight why we get to go to church instead of, as well as why we have to go to church. The first reason that we need to assemble is, for me at least, is I want to be in the presence of Jesus. Turn over to Matthew 18, please. We'll be hopping around quite a bit tonight in your Bible, so keep it handy. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Something happens when we gather together. When we come together as Christians to praise our God. There's some similar verses, especially with regard to prayer. If you look over in 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And 1 John 3:22 is similar. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And of course, Jesus told the story in Matthew 7:9. It says that if you have earthly fathers that know how to give you good gifts, God will give you good gifts too, because no one who asks his father for a loaf will get a stone. It's God answers our prayers. God is with us when we meet to assemble. Now, we may all disagree as to how Jesus is present or to what extent, But we have a promise made to us. Something good happens when we assemble together to praise Him, to pray, to do the things He wants us to do. I want to assemble to be encouraged and to encourage others. We read over in our reading tonight was in 1 Corinthians. If you turn back there, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about spiritual gifts, because back in chapter 12, everybody wanted to speak in tongues. And Paul said, you don't get it. Everybody has different gifts. And in chapter 13, he says, you know, instead of wanting what you want, you need to love one another. And in chapter 14, he says, you know what's better than speaking in tongues? It's better to prophesy. It's better to speak the word of God. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, he says, But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. You drop down to verse 31. It says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And if you look back in verse 12, it says, even so, you, since you are zealous or eager for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. We need to desire to do the things that will build one another up. In the first century, of course, the Bible wasn't there, so God gave gifts of prophecy. But prophecy is simply speaking the word of God. We have that today in His Bible. We know the Word of God. We have the ability to share that Word, and when we do, we build one another up. We become better Christians. We become better people. We convince unbelievers, and we convict them of their sin by the Word. And hearing that, they can be saved. We encourage each other with our words and songs and prayers. Everything is there for each other. The other thing is, think about the Lord's Supper. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. The Lord's Supper is primarily for us individually. We all go before God and we examine ourselves. But you know, it also is a way of encouraging one another. That when I see you partake or you see me partake, we proclaim that we believe that Jesus died and rose again and that we will too. We encourage one another by that act. That's what 11:26 says. We're proclaiming that to one another. Our service is designed to build one another up. And that's what we need to do. I can watch a service on TV, I can watch it streaming live, and I might be encouraged, but you know, I have a duty to encourage you. And there is no way I can do that sitting at home alone watching my TV. I need to be here to do that for you all. That's part of my obligation. And third, I want to follow God's commands and the example of His people. I want to do what God says. And part of that is assembling with you all. Turn over to Hebrews 10:25. You knew we'd get there sooner or later, right? We all hear that passage, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But think about it in context just a little bit. Let's start in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We have that command. God says, don't forsake the assembly. We know what we're supposed to do. But did you see the Hebrew writer gives us a reason? You see, he tells us that. That's all part of the same sentence. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Exhort one another, especially as you see the day approach. God gives us that reason that we meet together, both the command and a why. We need to stir up one another to love. We need to do what we can for each other so that we can do good works for each other and for those around us. We also have examples. Turn over to Acts 4. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles have been taken before the Sanhedrin and have been told that they're not to preach and not to preach anymore in Jesus. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want the people being persuaded. And so the people had gathered together to pray for the apostles, and when they came back, they began praying one another. Verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They gathered together. They assembled in a time of prayer for a need, and great power was given at that time. I'm not trying to suggest that we're going to have some miraculous gift in each of us when we gather, but there is power in prayer. And that power comes even stronger, it seems to me, when we assemble together. Look over in Acts 11. Starting 25, then Barnabas had gone to Antioch to see the work there. And it said, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Powerful things happen when Christians gather together, when they assemble. The words proclaimed. People are convinced. People are changed. People are saved. Acts 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message to midnight. I've had several of you request that I not do that, so I'll bear that in mind. We even have some negative examples, actually. You think about passage in James 2, where James talks about when you assemble together, don't show favoritism one to another. Or again, back in 1 Corinthians 11, where there were complaints about the assembly, and especially about taking the Lord's Supper, and Paul saying, you need to behave rightly when you take the Lord's Supper. There is a concern for the assembly. It's important that we do it. No one was told, well, you know, that's just a bad place, don't assemble. They're told, assemble and do good, do right. That's what's important. Question becomes is, can you study on your own? Can you pray on your own? Can you praise and worship on your own? Of course you can. And you should do it. Question is, should you do it to the neglect of meeting with other Christians? And the answer is no. There's an apocryphal story about Silent Calvin Coolidge, president, was asked by a reporter when he was going to church, said, can't you just go into the woods and praise God and pray on your own? And Coolidge, known for being really taciturn, says, yeah, you can, but you won't. I think we know from the Bible that that's probably true, the latter part is you won't. do those things when you're on your own, and that's part of why we do assemble. But the other answer that we see from the Bible as we look at it tonight is that we're still to meet together. On the first day of the week, we're to meet, and we're to be here with one another. Week in and week out, we are here to praise God. We're here to pray. We're here to worship Him, and we're here to edify each other, and to be edified, to be fed as well, to be built up. The sermon really hasn't been one to convince you to become a Christian tonight, but if you are here and you are convinced and you are convicted, you have a chance to come forward now and be a Christian. And if you are a member here and you want the opportunity to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation, you have that chance as we stand together and sing.